Welcome to the HR Stories Podcast, Listener Question Edition, where there is a lesson in every story. Each week, the team at HR Stories Podcast shares questions from our podcast audience and provides tangible, practical advice that everyone can use to get HR right. Our hosts today are management and HR consultants Chuck Simikian and John Tallheimer. What is on your mind today? Welcome to the HR Stories Podcast, Question and Answer Edition, starring the one and only Chuck Simikian, Chief Human Resources Officer for the team at HR Stories, Director of HR for every resort in the country. No, he does a lot of great stuff. Very, very busy. I'm so glad to have him here today. Chuck, how are you? Oh, I guess I should introduce myself. My name is John Tallheimer. I am your host today. What should we talk about?
Who are you? Strange voice. There's someone in my ear. It's in my brain. Get him out. Oh, John, it's you. Hey. Well, yes, John, we're here for our Q&A. We got some questions. I don't know if we got any answers today with some of these questions, but we do have, and I think we will have, some discussion. So
oh, good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to these. You sent me the questions ahead of time, so I'm loving that we have a chance to kind of talk between ourselves, right? What do we think and that kind of stuff. So it'll be good.
Yeah, so this first question, John, you sent me. You were teaching a class, and for those of you that don't know it, that John is a leadership guru, teaches a number of classes for seminar companies, as well as for the team at HR Stories, as well as for himself. And one of this was just a funny question when you sent it to me. I'm like, okay, we got to talk this one through. But the question was, is there a type of policy that an organization should have that shows the process of suggesting new ideas or policies? For example, an employee pitched the idea to all staff rather than to HR supervisors first to have Fridays off in the summer time period. So, to show, maybe there's a policy on how to come up with new ideas or how to go about it that would be helpful. Or would that hinder new ideas put forth by employees? I'm not sure. That was the question. That was beautiful. What do you think, John?
Yeah, so it was one of my workshops, and someone posed this question, and it's really interesting. Again, right? And it's sort of me, it really took me back, right? Because when I talk to a lot of companies, we're like, we want new ideas. And so to me, the underlying thing was, I can't believe an employee went and suggested that we should have Fridays off and get everyone else on board, right? So I get everyone else on board before it comes to HR. And so HR can then have this conversation saying, no, we don't want to do that, blah, blah, blah. And so here's the thing that I thought about when I was reading this, Chuck. I started thinking about the National Labor Relations Board, Section 7, and protected concerted activities. And thinking about those employees have the right to have that conversation. Having Fridays off is part of their, right? Their protected concerted activity. That's their well-being. That's all part of that. And that was my first reaction. Like, well, no, you can't stop them from having that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you went that way because I should have gone that way normally, but I just couldn't get over one hump on this one. You know what that was?
No, I'm interested.
We need a policy on how to make policies. We need a policy on how, a policy for policies. That just seemed, I just couldn't get over that hump to even think about the legal side of things the way you just did. It sounds to me like that's an HR department or an HR person, and maybe even personally, professionally, they're control freaks, right? They're control freaks. Everything has to go through them. They have to. And so I was like, at least at the end of their question, they realized, oh, but maybe that would hinder new ideas coming forward if we had to have a policy about how to have policies regarding policies.
Yeah. And I mean, I think about, I didn't get into that whole policy as much, but I think about bigger organizations I worked for. And when people started talking about things, for a lot of new employees, right? What is the process for a new employee to bring an idea up? Right. And I remember I was working at this one company. And this was when I was very young. So apologize now for the stupid mistakes I made. I'll tell more of the story. So I was working as a theater manager at the university I graduated from. First year out of college, and I had some opinions. And instead of expressing them to my boss or my boss's boss, I sent memos to the dean or emails to the school president. Right. And so I was told that that was not how we do things. Right. And so it is a good reminder, though, for those individuals that are new to the workforce, you may want to say, hey, you have an idea, bring it to your supervisor. Your supervisor will kind of do that and take care of it. If it's a bigger idea, your supervisor will then raise it up. And, a good supervisor will say, that's a great idea. Let's get so-and-so involved at a higher level because that's where the decision would happen and really pump that person up and do that, right? A good supervisor would do that. A bad supervisor would take the idea for themselves and go, hey, we should do this. So lots of things to kind of unpack in this. But one, we have to be careful of National Labor Relations Board. Innovation is critical for companies to grow. New people are going to have new ideas. We want them to express that. There may be some conversation about how to express those new ideas, but not putting a policy in place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, very good. Thank you. Great discussion.
Yeah.
Question two or discussion point number two. And it's interesting. Yeah. When I read this, it resonated because I remember we did something similar at one of my former companies, a hotel, large hotel resort, maybe 15-ish or 20 years ago. So this listener wrote in, and this was on the HR Team of One Facebook page. My company is currently in the process of being sold. I'm lucky or maybe unlucky enough to be part of it as we're very small. It's interesting and intense, say the least. I've had a chance to review my company's handbook.
The new company's handbook.
I have many thoughts, LOL. But my biggest gripe is the perfect attendance award. And what they do with the perfect attendance award is give extra PTO for perfect attendance. Each quarter they offer, which I think is a post-COVID world, is mind-boggling. I don't know what she meant by that, but she thinks it's disproportionate and unfair to working parents, especially mothers. She hates it that if you have perfect attendance, you get extra PTO. But working parents, working mothers, well, you have kids, you have situations. A lot of times it's very difficult to get perfect attendance. But outside of not liking it, she goes on to say the company's in another state, and she says, I can't find anything in the law that says the policies are not allowed, and it does, and there's no adverse effect from the state regarding the leave. Do you think I should advise against the policy with this law in place? I have many reasons I dislike it, and I don't want to enforce it, but at least, I need to have some sort of legal reasoning. So what do you think?
Yeah, and it's interesting. So she clarifies that both of these companies are manufactured, right? And so I think let's start at the beginning, right? Because if we're a company and we're being required or sold to another company, 90% of that time, that company's new company's policies are going to come into effect, right? And so they're going to change them based on state and location and that kind of stuff, but they're going to go in there. And for this, to me, this is part of their brand and culture, and they want to reward people for having perfect attendance. I don't think if I'm the HR person, I may dislike this and I may be concerned that the impact it has on certain circumstances or certain people in the organization, but it's going to be hard to address it. And if you are going to address it, in my opinion, I think you need to be very politically correct and be very careful with what you say, because you're new. They could be like, well, you're causing trouble. We're going to get rid of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good point. You know, I like that angle, because here's the deal. If it's not illegal, okay, and you're like, okay, it's not illegal, I've done my due diligence, it is or it isn't, but if I think there's a concern, there's like an alpha HR person, right?
Right.
The company coming in and they're bringing their HR people. I would address it with them. I would say, hey, you know, first of all, here's some things I uncovered. I don't know if it's legal in this state. And then I might bring up, John, that, hey, how have you applied this? You know, because it does seem to disfavor working moms and families, you know, working parents. And have you had any blowback? How long has this been in place? And I would see what the other HR team says. And if they're like, no, it's been fine. People love it. There are some people that don't get it and maybe they've been upset, but a lot of times it has helped our attendance, you know, and presenteeism. So I would go to them and I would say, tell me the history and how's it going, and make me feel better.
Yeah, that's a great question. Tell me the history. How's this going? Right. That kind of stuff. I will tell you that typically perfect attendance bonuses, believe it or not, are well thought. People love them. And it improves people's outcomes, right? It improves performance, it improves attendance, and all that does that. And so it is a bigger thing. And most perfect attendance doesn't get in your way if you take a pedo time off, right? If you take personal time off, that doesn't count against your perfect attendance. Yeah. And so my feel like on the heart of this is that perfect attendance policy, I just know from the research that they work. And so I think she or he is misguiding on this. I think they should really look at the records and research and do that and make sure that she's right. We don't want to impact people in terms of using PTO and that kind of stuff. So that's the way I would investigate that, just to see.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's a good question. I like that. I like that. How they're thinking, right? They're thinking about how do I deal with this and how do I do that? I think it's a crucial question when you're going through a merger. You're right, Chuck, there's this alpha person, but I also think, right, you need to step up and go, hey, this is what we do. And again, it depends on the merger, what's happening, how it's being sold, and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So this next question is not really as much of a question. It's kind of a setup story. And then someone says, what's the next step? So this is someone says, hey, we have a female employee make a sexual harassment claim to their manager against a male employee. The manager addressed both employees prior to contacting HR. The claim is the male made very inappropriate sexual comments to the female in front of four customers. The manager spoke with two of the customers and they said, no, you know what? We didn't hear anything, but both customers are male. The manager then asked the two employees to have no contact and remain separated. The environment allows for this separation. So I guess that's all good. Now that this has been reported to HR, we in HR have opened our investigation and both employees have been interviewed. And it is a she said, he said thing with no real evidential finding. We are requesting statements from customers. Female claimant has said to HR she'd be happy to keep working with the team member, feels better knowing that her claim has been heard, but does not feel it will be a problem in the future. What's our next step?
Can I ask a question, Chuck? So as director of HR, how do you feel about the manager's response?
I'm impressed. I think, and I don't know their environment. I don't know if HR, maybe it was, could it have happened on a weekend and HR isn't there. HR's not as accessible, you know, is it a satellite office? Maybe they try, I don't know, but I'm impressed with the manager attempting to do a little bit of investigation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that shows good faith effort. It shows some good due diligence. And you know what? It perhaps diffused a potential volatile situation. So I'm okay with what they did.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, of course, you know, I fall for the manager. I just, it does, but I never thought about, what if HR wasn't readily available?
Yeah.
And then what the manager, if HR wasn't readily available, what the manager did was perfect, right? They said, okay, they listened, they didn't talk to each other. They got talked to the customers, they separated them, they went through all this process, they reached out to HR. HR now has done their investigation, they interviewed everybody, they come back, and now the female complainant's like, I'm still willing to work for this team. I don't think it's going to happen again. What would be your next step? I think it's documentation. Documentation of what the manager did, documentation of what HR did, and what the female applicant said, and say, look, we seem okay here at the time. We don't have one thing or another, but I want you, female applicant, to either go to your manager or reach out to me directly if this issue comes back. And I would also probably talk to the male coworker and say, look, there's no evidence that you did this, but if you do it again, or you do it, do expect to have strong discipline action taken.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as I'm concerned at this point, you're right. It's a done deal. I would get her to put in writing that she's the, you know, she's okay, and, you know, document it, you know, tie everything up with a nice bow package, boom, you're done. And the way you put it is perfect how I would end it. I think you are pretty much done. You don't need to keep going investigating. You've done your due diligence.
Yeah. And I might go back in like 3 weeks, 3 months. How's it going? How's everything going? Check with both of them. Just to put it on my calendar, have it there so I can follow up, because I want to make sure there's nothing, no smoke, right? There's no hidden smoke that's causing a fire underneath that as well.
Absolutely. So we have one final bonus discussion question.
Bonus. I love a bonus. I haven't got my bonus this quarterly, Chuck. I just let you know.
Yeah. So this person says, you know, it's not common, but on occasion we do include a short assignment in our recruiting workflow. Yeah. Does anyone have template agreements that state the assignment is used solely for candidate evaluation, won't be repurposed by the company as a means of to get free work out of someone? And I found this to be an intriguing question because, frankly, I never even thought of having anyone sign an agreement for something like this. I've seen this. I've done things like this before. I've participated as an applicant in things where, hey, do a presentation on something, write a short paragraph on what you saw when you walked in today. In the culinary industry, John, when we're hiring anything above sous chef, any sous chefs, executive sous chefs and executive chefs, we have them come in and cook.
Yeah.
We have them come in and do a whole like cooking demonstration.
It's always my favorite day. Free food.
Yeah. Now, if we were to say, thank you, we're now selling that food. Yeah, that's something else, but no. So anyways, it happens a lot. I just actually never thought about getting an agreement from someone. I can't argue against it. I just thought it was interesting and I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah. And so I've been in that whole same food thing. I did interviews for food stylists for a cookbook, and we had them come in and we gave them a recipe, said, produce this. We want to see what it looks like. And then we got to eat it. Right. I will tell you that should not always eat food stylist food without asking them, and because it may not be fully cooked. This is interesting because it comes up a lot of times in my classes, and I always use the example of a copywriter, right? And in fact, I was reading a post about this where people were complaining where they went in and they said, you know, somebody would ask them a question and, you know, they would give their answer, their thoughts, their opinions. And suddenly, I think it was like a web page. And suddenly that web page changed with all the ideas that person gave them. And they felt like, you're using my ideas to change your page around and you're not paying me for them. And we know that's not right, not only ethically, illegal to do. And so with copywriters, we talk about this a lot because we're asking them to write copy for us as an example so we could do that. And so we would probably put something in their interview. Hey, we're going to ask you to do this. It's not for live. We're not going to use it. We'll throw it out when we're done with it. We just want to see how well you can write copy about a product or about something. And so I do think it's a good idea, especially in those situations where it may be easily to be construed as we're taking your work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And so I do think it's a good idea. And just it doesn't need to be a big thing. It's just like, hey, by the way, we're going to have you do this copy, or we're going to have you do this test, and we won't use it as part of our products or that kind of stuff. In fact, you can take it with you, so we don't have
it. It doesn't hurt. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, this is another great round of the HR Stories Q&A edition.
Yeah. And I love this was discussion. So I'm just going to call out everybody. Send us your questions. Send them to the email at team@hrstories.com. We're always checking that. We'll always do that. We may answer your question in their thing, and then we may answer it on air as well. But I'd love that we're getting into the gray area, right? It's not, and I think it's harder. It's harder for me. It's harder for Chuck to answer those questions for you. But I do think that's where we live as HR professionals, as talent managers, as CEOs, as executive directors. We live in that gray area. And I always find it's good to kind of sit around the fire and have these conversations and, you know, maybe have an adult beverage and just have these conversations, because that's where we find the answers.
I want to thank you all for listening. Once again, this is the HR Stories Podcast, where there's a lesson in every story, but this, I guess there's a lesson in every question and answer.
Thank you for listening to the HR Stories Podcast. The material presented in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Chuck and John always recommend using an employment lawyer or HR consultant to handle any legal concerns or HR issues. We do our best to double check sources and make sure the information we are providing is accurate. We may eliminate or embellish without changing the basic narrative to make the story easier to understand. In certain circumstances, we may change identifying information to protect the innocent. The HR Stories broadcast is brought to you by the team at HR Stories. The team at HR Stories is designed to help anyone with HR responsibilities be better at managing the employee experience. To engage with us, go to the HRStoriesTeam.com and learn more about how the team at HR Stories can support your business or nonprofit. Thank you for listening to the HR Stories podcast, where there is a lesson in every story.